Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Today, we will be... Well, it's story time with Chef Jeffrey Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels. And he's gonna describe some amazing dishes and kind of get into ingredients and whatnot. I'm super stoked. I saw pictures, and so will you. But first, attention, chefs and purchasing personnel in hotels, restaurants, and country clubs. Pazeki's Produce and Specialty Foods is your one-stop destination for quality, service, and a growing selection of specialty food products. And I'm going to say service twice because you get taken care of, period. Get with Brian and company. You will not be disappointed. Contact them on their website at farmfreshfl.com. Jeffrey.
What's up, man?
What up? It is definitely story time. And I want you just to jump right in. Go.
Let's talk barbecue then, because there's nothing more sexier than barbecue. To me, the essence of having the fire burn, even from the start, and most of the people out there will agree, when you're starting that fire, it's so primal. But then on the same token, it's the challenge of how the wood's going to react, how the environment's going to act, the humidity, the light, everything that's going on in the environment that day you're lighting up. But then you have that piece or slab of meat, whatever you're going to be doing. And I love a good pork butt. And who doesn't like a good butt, right? And right. But for me, it's more, how do you manipulate that product to being the star? And a lot of times what I find that a lot of people that do barbecue, the star is the wood and not the product. And to me, the wood is the supporting actor. And the rub is the supporting actor. It just enhances the flavor. But there's nothing like seeing that pork butt come out and you're starting to sit there and go, what am I going to use today? Is it going to be a mustard? Is it going to be achar? Is it going to be, what's going to glue that bark, that rub that you're going to put on? But then it goes into the rub. The rub is something that, you know, you can take it, the journey for your taste buds, whether you want to be Far East, whether you want to be, you know, typical Texas style, or you want to go North Carolina, or you want to do Floridian like I do, there's nothing like having that flavor profile. And then you're just taking that the meat and you're rubbing the meat, not to be provocative, but when you're rubbing the meat, it's like you're connected to that animal and you're really appreciating what that animal is going to give to you as far as the nourishment, the food, the flavor profile. But then yet on the same token, as you're smoking that product, there's something there that I can't even describe. And John's sitting there shaking his head right now.
Talk ingredients.
Ingredient wise, there's nothing like having some beautiful roasted garlic and then pureeing that and using that as a way of a glue to adhere to the product, the spices.
Oh man. How are you pure? So what's your method of puring?
So what I do is I generally speaking, I roast in the oil because I want to keep that oil for my garlic. I just found cipollini onions that were peeled. I don't know if anybody's had cipollinis and had to peel them or pain in that butt. I actually ended up roasting those well. And I have a cipollini oil or cipollini puree and the oil and the garlic and the oil. So sometimes I'll utilize the oil as it and it encapsulates the product as well, giving that flavor profile. A lot of times with garlic, it happens to be a little bit too spicy. But then the herbs and the spices that you use in the rub are really what set the tone for what you're doing. Cumin, coriander, chili powder, ancho chili, salt, pepper, garlic, chili powder, paprika. Those are some basic ones. I use coconut sugar. For me, a lot of my clients that I deal with, they have problems with diabetes or they have to watch their sugar intake and that has a less of a hit on the glycemic index, but it also inhibits such a great flavor to it. It caramelizes just like regular brown sugar, but doesn't have that molasses to it. And then sometimes I'll, you know, throw in some maybe black garlic. But the new one that you tasted a couple of weeks ago, that beef rib rack,
yes,
that was achar. And that to me is something that is so sexy, so on top of its game that it's fermentation done the Indian subcontinent. And they'll ferment, whether it be ginger, lime, garlic, or whatever. The product there, the flavor profile is so intense and it's so delicious. It's so complex. When I've tasted it, Keith Saracen, and I always will say this, he wrecked me, but having that ability to have that flavor profile there is it up my game to having something that's spectacular.
Yeah. But most people don't know what achar is.
No. And that's the thing.
What's the flavor? Like, can you describe the flavor profile?
There's fenugreek. There are, you know, different spices and herbs within that product. There's nothing I've ever tasted ever in my entire life that give that. I mean, it's such a saltiness and tang and complexity that there is nothing in the United States, the food cuisine, that I can say it tastes just like that. It's not like, you know, you taste rattlesnake. What does it taste like? It tastes like chicken. It's not like a product we've ever had.
But tangy, salty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy on heavy salt flavor? No, yes.
Not really. It's not like it's the lacto fermentation. It's not like sauerkraut. It's not going to turn sour. It doesn't have that bite to it as much. It has such diversity in it. There's so many different layers.
And all right, so you got the rub.
Mm-hmm.
You got your herbs and spices.
Yep.
What next?
It's all about the smoke. And for me, I love pecan. I love cherry wood. I love apple wood. And what you do with that, for me in specific, I love to give a kiss, just a hint. Because to me, again, going back, when you have hickory or mesquite, and a lot of guys out there, a lot of ladies out there who do smoke barbecue, it happens to overpower the food. To me, again, it should be something, hey, I'm over here, where the pork is right in front of your face, like a Sam Kinison, but not screaming at you like Sam Kinison, but you know, the pork flavor's there.
You know, I'm so holding myself back.
I know you are. I definitely will say this. The one part I love about cooking the pork or anything I'm smoking is that the chef's taste, you know, they have the devil's and the angel's cut. The chef's cut is that bark where you, as it's cooking, you see it and it's just dangling off the side and you're like,
when you say bark,
yeah,
the average person doesn't call it bark.
Bark, right.
What is it?
So bark is the char on the actual protein that you're cooking. It's caramelization of the rub, if you have the rub, or if it's the Maillard reaction of the cooking process in itself. Generally speaking, when you're smoking between 250. I like to smoke around 300. That's just me, who I am. It gives a better flavor profile to me and what the end product does and how you break down the muscle.
And at 300, it says a lot about you.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Overachiever.
Correct.
But tenfold.
You're an overcharrer.
Yeah, overchar. But I think there's something to it when you have, not burnt, when you have char on something, it's mesmerizing to me. I think the chef down in Argentina, which slips my mind right now, it's Francis, and I can't remember his name. He's got 30-something different restaurants, and he cooks only open flame. And part of his cooking technique is he'll take raw vegetables and put them in the ash. So it immediately gets charred on the outside. There's something to say about cooking that style. Indian, the subcontinent of India, when they caramelize onions, they don't use sugar. We have a tendency in the United States to use sugar to caramelize the onions. It's a 2-hour process to make caramelized onions when you're making Indian food. But the end result you get, mind-blowing. It is literally the best thing you've ever put in your mouth. And you can get dirty with that one too.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Sure you can. This is a PG-17 show.
Yeah.
So, all right, now what? So 300 degrees.
Once it's done, obviously if you have the bone in, and the bone just slips right out.
What piece of meat we have?
You have the shoulder, so it's basically the Boston butt.
Okay.
And everyone gets confused. And I have a pig tattoo on my left arm. And I always, you know, when I show people that, they're like, oh, the butt's not the butt? No. Back in the old times when they brought the pigs over and they were processed in the Northeast, which is Massachusetts, in Boston, they put them in a, you know, a vessel called a butt. So Boston butt, and that's how they shipped them across the United States. So it's actually just behind the head on the upper part. So you have the picnic and then you have the butt. The butt is what I like to use. I actually, when I do use the butt, most Cuban restaurants will use the picnic to make their Cuban sandwiches or roast the pork aspect of it. And then their ham is in the back. So the ham is actually the butt of the animal. I love using that pork butt because the way it shreds, the way the, there's so many different layers when you cut open that piece of meat and you're starting to pull the meat. And as you start pulling the meat, there's just how the John, you know what I'm talking about too. There's colorations. There's some browns. There's some pinks. There's some blacks. And you're looking at all this going, okay, that's the piece I want right there. Cause it's got the char, the bark on the outside. It's got that beautiful red hue of that smoke ring. And then it has that brown, wonderful shredded pork coming out of it. And you know, when you're going to put that in your mouth, you're going to taste incredible flavors. And that to me is the epitome of cooking a primal barbecue to me. It's just amazing. There's nothing else like it in the world.
What the hell are we still doing here?
Right.
Let's go get barbecue.
Well, the good news is next week when we do the podcast from Orlando,
yeah,
we'll actually have the version of that pork belly we were supposed to have with the skin on top because I found it.
Okay.
That's now soaking in bourbon right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will probably end up doing it on Wednesday. So it's going to sit that long. Yeah. Till about Tuesday, I'll pull it out of the bourbon.
I got nothing to say.
and then I'll dust it, dry it, and then I'll smoke it, and then we'll go ahead and bake it on Wednesday. And so then Friday I'll refire, or Thursday I'll refire it.
That sounds wonderful.
Except for Jay. I have to bring something for Jay, so I will.
Okay.
Yeah. This time I'll bring something for him. Because now I know.
Like a snack pack?
A little barbecue, vegan barbecue.
Apple slices?
No. I'll do something really strange.
All right. So you were talking about Cuban sandwiches, pork, Miami. Am I correct in saying that you were on TV for a Cuban sandwich?
Yeah, actually the Florida Justice Center was doing a telethon to raise funds for that particular program, which is an amazing program. My friend was a part of it and they asked me to do like a lunch break kind of thing. And I ended up doing it. It's funny as heck. I'm doing the whole presentation, going through the whole thing. I get a text right afterwards. So Jay just went to go get a Cuban from across the street because of your presentation. I said, it ain't going to be like mine. And the way I do mine is I like to elevate, right? And we just had that talk earlier with Jason. You know, typically here in Tampa, it's Swiss, I don't know, lettuce, tomato, salami, ham. Is there pork?
Yeah, it's like a combination of Cuban and Italian,
right,
based on the culture here, right, like 100 years ago with the, you know, factories and the cigars. And
is there pickles on there or no? It's been a long time since I had
one. I feel
like
there are. I mean, I've had enough of them here. I should probably... there's pickles, yeah.
Yeah. So in Miami, obviously, it's Swiss cheese, ham, roasted pork, pickles, and that's pretty much... mayonnaise, mustard sometimes, depending on where you're going to go. So I used to live in New Orleans, and I've been there several times since. And one of the things I go to is Cochon, and they have a butcher shop. And Cochon's butcher shop does this amazing, amazing Cuban sandwich. So much so, I actually had to call the chef. I was like, dude, what the hell do you put in that damn sandwich? Because that is the best, bar none, I've ever had in my entire life. And he went through, there was like 20 ingredients. And one of the ingredients was sherry vinegar. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then he went through the whole thing and I'm like, okay. So I went back and I sat down. I'm like, okay, how can I make mine? Like what chef said, you know, put your passion into it, cook what you want, and how can you have your different? And I thought, well, don't kill me for this. I really don't like Cuban bread.
Ew, dirty.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I like it like plain, where it's just toasted with some like butter and you want to eat it.
Oh, I will eat the hell out of that.
Oh, I'll just destroy it. But on the sandwich,
love that.
The sandwich wise, I felt there. I wanted to kind of lift it a little bit, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Sprouts does a wonderful semolina like Cuban bread, and that semolina gives it such a crunch on the outside.
Everybody just shut the podcast.
Oh,
off.
I know they did.
Everybody just tuned out.
But I can either make my own or I can get it. That was one of the things for this particular picture that John put up. That was that semolina bread. I just loved it, the crunch to it. But I took my ham, I smoked my ham with bourbon. I then smoked the pork butt with my Latin spices to it on the rub. But then instead of using Swiss cheese, I elevated it with Gruyere. And Gruyere to me is just this beautiful, wonderful tasting, meltable cheese that just says hi.
Yes.
Right. Then I looked at the pickles and I said, what can I do differently? And because I do Floridian style, I went with Scotch bonnet. And then I did a quick pickle with that with some garlic. So I'd added some heat. Well, now I've got some heat. What do I need to do to counter it?
How much heat's in there? 1 to 10.
I do it more for the American palate, not the Jamaican palate. So I would probably say about 3 to 4. I don't want to go too extreme because I want people to enjoy it. I want it to be there as a hint. How I counter it is I use guava paste and I make a guava aioli. And then I make a Dijon aioli. So I have two aiolis on there so they don't compete. One is that salty mustard flavor. That guava hints in and comes in and says, hi, I'm here, just to kind of cool everything out, make it balanced. And then I go from there and I just build the sandwich up that way. And it just, the crunch, the flavor profile, the bourbon, everything comes through. And it's, for me, when we put it on the old menu or the back at the old restaurant, it was one of our number one sellers. And it will be on when I do my new concept, it's going to be one of the ones that are going to be on the new concept as well.
I mean, that sounds incredibly delicious.
I want to make it for you guys. I was driving over here. I'm like, I got to make them that damn human sandwich.
You really never need permission. Like, it's kind of like, just do it. We'll definitely
you'll enjoy yourself.
It's going to find a home. I promise.
Yeah. In your belly.
In my belly. So what do you mean a concept? What do you got going on?
So
we've talked about it before. You've got a thing, but you know, maybe it's a new listener. What do you got going on?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yeah, so... You know, having the restaurant And then the pandemic, obviously we were still involved in a pandemic, and then things happened with my family and I had to move. I wanted to figure out how I can be within the industry, but not work in the restaurant industry, if that makes sense.
Everybody wants to do that. That's why we have the show.
Right. Really. But I looked at it, what can I do? And one of the things I loved and one of the things I think is a dying trade is butchering. And I know in the state of Florida, we don't have that many butchers, like true butchers. And the other passion I have is the plant-based. So I was like, how can I merge what I love to do, butchering and plant-based, into one unit? So I want to open up a market slash,
that's some real yin yang type.
It is. It is. And it's, I'm not catering to the vegan. I just was talking to somebody earlier. He's, oh, I've been a vegan for 25 years. I'm like, listen, I'm going to open something that is going to cater to, you know, vegan charcuterie, but it's not for you. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, cause I'm going to have animal product in there too. I'm there for the person that, you know, you have a family of four. Let's say your wife is a plant-based person and you want to go pick up dinner on the way home. Well, where are you going to pick up plant-based? There's your opportunity. So I'm appealing to, or let's say you want to try something that's plant-based and you want to try something that's completely different because you want to experiment or you're trying to cut back or you're, you know, whatever the case may be. There's nobody that does that in the state of Florida. There are several, I would say probably a handful of vegan charcuteries in the United States, but they're also booming, profitable. And that's what I looked at. You know, how can I play with my food, my creativity, but more importantly, my niche with the animal proteins is the farmers, and then becoming the farmer advocate, because there's so many things that we don't understand about farmers and what they do and their passion for their animals. And I can vet them too. That's what's even best.
You know, did you know that on Tuesday nights, we're doing a
Circle C with Circle C. Nicole Cruz. Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually listened to 22, 21. What was her?
I don't remember the.
Yeah, I don't remember the number. There was 23 or 22. One of them. Yeah, I did hear that. It was awesome. But she's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, her whole get up down there is just, that's inspiring.
Yes. And we're getting it. So that particular series kind of gets into the farmer perspective of everything. And, you know her, she's incredibly smart and she can kind of articulate in a very, very direct way without hurting any feelings.
Yeah. And one of the things about, if you talk to the farmers that live near her or down by her, she's God. You know, you've got Jan over at City Chicks, and then you've got Park or Kulina over in Sebring with Colleen. You mentioned Nicole Cruz and like, oh man, she's just God. That's what I want to be when I get to the farming level, you know? And that says a lot for what she's done for the farming community down in that area, to have that many people that want to be like her. Funny story, was over at Universal Studios this weekend. I was walking around in Diagon Alley and there's Rich and Colleen from Park with their kids. It's one of their kids' birthday. And we happened to walk right into each other at that point there. Yeah. That's, it was cool. Just one of the smallest world. Like, I'm there for fan fest for soccer. Park. Yeah.
It's a small world.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, all right.
Dad joke.
I love it.
But it's one of those things, like when you look at what the farmers go through and the passion they have, Marvin, Colleen, and Jan, and Nicole, and all these other, and Vicky Webster for the goat farm, you just see their passion, and it really invigorates me, and it energizes me to do better, because obviously we're trying to put out the best food possible.
Yeah, but you're doing a butcher shop, a restaurant. What is it? Explain it
so
to
So it's a butcher shop market. So what I want to do too is upselling. If somebody has, let's say Brenda wanted to sell me her the macaroons, because those things are flipping delicious, I would then buy them from her and then sell them in my retail store. So it's upselling. Yeah, it's upselling, or upcycling. Because I'm helping them out, that business out, by giving them more exposure. Mm-hmm. But I'm also helping the community as far as keeping the money here instead of being a big conglomerate. The other thing of it is, like, twice a month, we're going to have chef dinners. And not only am I going to be a chef that's going to be cooking it, but I want chefs from around town, like Thomas Parker, like Jason, like Jonathan Rodriguez, like Alex, like Stephanie, because I feel that they, like you want to showcase their talent through the talking. I want to showcase the talent by the food that they're cooking too. And it gives them another outlet. we want to be closed 2 days. Sunday and Monday is where I want to be closed. Again, I'm family oriented as well. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to go this route. But again, it's also that you can, we're going to have five sandwiches. One of them is going to be the Cuban. We're going to have, and let me tell you, we'll have to go through the whole tasting bit again once we get to that part. But let me tell you, that chicken sandwich we came up with, it has achar in it. It has like, I forgot how many different ingredients on it. I have it written down. That's going to be fantastic. But the other thing we're going to do is we're going to showcase some Frankfurters. We're going to make our own hot dogs. And I'm going to have five hot dogs. And one's going to be a vegan. So
okay.
Every aspect, we're going to have something for everybody. So if you're going to come in and pick up some chicken for your dinner that later on that night, and you're there and it's lunchtime, you get lunch.
So for the average consumer of a hot dog, what would the difference be from your product to, I don't know, like a Dirty Water, Sabrettes, or something like that?
Tenfold. I think what Jason pointed out was the passion and the love that you put in for your food. I think that's where it comes the difference, and plus the toppings. It's not going to be your mundane topping. It's going to be something that's going to be stellar. It's going to accentuate what you're eating. It's
fresh.
Yeah. Everything is going to be fresh, handmade, or scratch kitchen. I'm thinking about ketchup. Well, customarily, or what I'm going to be doing, 100% beef product. I'm not doing any pork. I'll do sausages, but not in the hot dog. I'm going to keep it all beef product, just because I don't want to segregate anyone else that would want to come in. And if my product has pork in it, but I think a dog is a dog for the most part. What you're putting into it, it's the toppings that go on top of the dog that really make the experience more worthwhile. There's a place called Hot.
I presume you're going to be making all your, scratch.
Everything. Oh yeah. Charcuteries, everything will be made from scratch. We're going to be using something called Koji. Koji is an accelerant, or for the lack of better terms, an accelerant when you're fermentation. And it's made from rice, believe it or not. And from the one strain, when you're looking at the chemical makeup, it can actually kill a human if it has that one more strand in it, or it is the most incredible thing that you can ever have in your life. And everyone on the radio listening to the podcast has had Koji. You just don't realize it because it's called soy sauce.
Okay.
That's a liquid amino. There's a liquid part of it. And then there's another one called miso. So miso is a derivative of Koji. And if you take that and add it to certain products, it just enhances the flavor. It can dry out meat faster. You can actually dehydrate or go through the process of drying or dry aging meat from, X amount of days and taking it down to like 40%. Time.
Yeah, but you're going to be left with a whole nother flavor profile in there too, right? Some different depth in that?
They're definitely going to have some different depths and different nuances and new complexities to it. But again, that's because that particular fermentation.
But do you still have that that distinct aged meat?
Yes.
Is that still prevalent? That's like
you have that nuttiness to
number
it.
Number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely, but you don't have that purplish green funk growing on the outside of it. So you're not losing 30% of the product from dry aging, like the true dry aging form.
Yeah. You lose a lot.
Yeah. You don't with Koji. You actually shrink the product because it's being eaten by the fermentation or the bacteria growing on it, the good bacteria that's growing on the meat.
Yeah.
So it's an exceptional way of thinking to go outside the box. And there's a guy out in Ohio Jeremy is his last name. I can't remember. He just got a nod from the beard.
Oh yeah.
He actually wrote the book called Koji. It's just my buddy Emerson Frisbee down in Palm Beach does it for Palm Beach Meats. And he owns a catering clandestine that he does a lot of Koji, and he introduced me to it, and kind of like the geek in me went, oh my God. It was like, yes. So I want to learn as much as I possibly can. In fact, Keith Saracen's coming out with a fermentation book.
I keep hearing about Keith.
Yeah.
we're on social media. Keith, man, I don't know if you're ever hearing this or what, but did you get here already?
Yeah, he's coming down March. We're going to be part of Cater Source, actually.
It's like March now. It's almost March.
Yeah. I can't believe it's already February.
Ugh. Yeah, tell me about it.
It's like blink your eye and it's already February.
My kids are already talking about next Christmas.
My daughter did that the next day, but I think that's most kids.
Yeah. Gotta love that. Love the children. So what?
Right now, my biggest obstacle is finding the spot.
Space. So you're looking for the Tampa Bay area. maybe Wesley Chapel, maybe
Riverview. Valrico is a good one. Fishhawk.
Fishhawk's not bad.
And you know, is it still vacant, the Fishhawk Pizzeria? Is it still, or is somebody coming in there?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I mean, as it seems,
it's nothing, right?
Yeah.
I reached out to them and they were like, spot. Nope. Someone was taking it over. It wasn't available.
I feel like that didn't go anywhere.
I don't know. I should circle back maybe.
I think you should. It is a good space, man. The last place that was there, they were there for quite a long time.
Yeah. And here's the reason why it's taken so long. And just for the listeners, I did consulting for a big conglomerate for a while. And one of my biggest things was the build out that somebody does. You're not able to take the hood down with you. You're not able to take the grease trap. You're not able to take certain things out of the building, obviously. And has put that forth, that money, just to me doesn't make sense. It's almost like probably now, because of the inflation and all this other crap going on, it's probably 50 grand.
Yeah, it's a make or break right there.
Right. And for me, it's like, you know, even Jason, when we mentioned to him, he's like, what do you need? I'm like, he goes, what, 2,000? I'm like, that's the max. I'm not looking for anything big. Because again, put
2,000 square feet.
Yeah. Thank you. I want to focus on five sandwiches, five hot dogs. And I want to put out the best food we possibly can.
Delivery?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. We're going to do it all. I'll do Uber Eats, but you know, obviously there's going to be the charge for it. And one of the greatest things for me, I got with a credit card processor that, you know, listen, if gas stations can charge a cash price or a credit card price, why can't restaurants? So my credit card processor that I've been using for over a year now, the credit card processor goes to the guest. I don't see a dime of that.
I don't know. That's such a boomer thing to say.
What's a boomer? Because we were talking about boomers millennials ain't.
Right. So I mean, at the end of the day, you got to do like NFTs or.
I thought about doing NFTs for my recipes.
In conjunction with the cash. You know, like have the spectrum here.
I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at, you know, I talked to a publisher about a cookbook that I'm in the process of writing right now. And I contemplated, do I want to do an ebook or do I want to do an NFT? Because NFTs, I mean, think about it. Anytime someone goes to purchase that recipe, whether it be $1, $3, whatever it is, they got to keep on paying for it. Mm-hmm. You buy a cookbook, it probably sits on the shelf and doesn't get pulled down again.
Right.
So I'm in that kind of like, I don't know which way I want to go with it. Maybe all three. I don't know.
Well, when I was young, I was able to buy a sandwich for a nickel.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Dude,
there's no nickels anymore, man.
You ain't lying.
And it was wooden.
No, I don't know. So look, at the end of it all, that sounds pretty cool, actually. And that's like, can you get the show on the road, dude?
Yeah, dude, trust me. I actually just joined U.S. Chefs, Private Chefs Association. Because I'm actually going to launch a private chef thing too and consulting, because I can't find something right now and I got to do something, because not just money. It's stir crazy. I want to get back into doing, my passion is cooking for people. I was born to do it. And I feel like I'm kind of like suffocating and dying because I'm not cooking. I'm not in front of a kitchen and cooking.
Dude, I speak for John and a dozen other people in our circle here. Dude, cook, man. We will support your need to create.
No, I appreciate that.
John, Mr. Producer.
I don't know about your weight, though, your waist.
I'm going to have to work. I'm going to figure that out. I'll have to figure that out.
I'm going to end up giving you a food addiction.
I got to talk to my doctor and say, hey, how's my cholesterol? Can I still do this?
Can I get on this?
Can I do this thing? Hey, John, I was just going to say, how long are we on here? We got 33? Yeah, we got so what? What's the update on the NRA, serve, save? You had some action there on
They posted online about how they were for the restaurant community and this and that. And I went to comment and I noticed I wasn't able to. And then I looked again and the post just before that, which was just like, hey, a serve safe for the classes coming up, there were comments. And I was like, let me look into this. So I went on Instagram and actually went to their site and messaged them. I said, hey, how come you can't comment on this? And the response was, we turned that off on this post.
We should go to another post. Go to a different post.
Yeah. And I'll do that after this. But here's the thing that I believe.
There's nothing that annoys me more when that you. So if you go to pick a news organization, right? Any one of them. If you on they don't always have comments at all. Like, you know, if you get, I don't know, something from Fox or CNN or whatever, it comes out, you read the article or whatever it is. There isn't even an option. There's
right.
nothing.
Right.
I'm not going to share your article if you don't allow me to, you know.
Right. Comment. About it.
Mm-hmm. So I leave it, but it makes me angry. Same thing as like what you're saying, where they actually just shut the comments off on social media. Like, come on, dude. You
know, on that post.
On that post, right. They
shut
it off. That's
deliberate.
Yes.
You know, just as about as deliberate of them doing what they did to the restaurant and industry.
Very deliberate.
You know, and here's the thing. When you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, oh, I didn't realize. Was I doing something wrong?
Let me shut my comments off.
Exactly. If you're doing something in the right...
By the way, so real quick, back up. What did they do?
So they decided, New York Times, thank God, they still investigate crooked people or organizations. They basically took the money that they earned from SurfSafe. Now, we always say, just like tissue or Kleenex, we always say, can you have a Kleenex? Well, Kleenex is the name brand. It's the food handler's guide. That's the whole thing. That's the FDA comes out with regulations. It goes to the food handler code. The food handler then goes to the different organizations that do food handler.
Are you saying that people Surf should safe. Blow their nose with the SurfSafe?
Well, no, there's a whole other way of blowing your nose in the state of Florida because we know that's a law. But what I'm saying is SurfSafe is the name brand.
Yes.
And it's owned and operated by the National Restaurant Association. What they did was they went out and then took the profits they got from us, because there's four states that they lobbied to make sure that it's a part of law that everyone, not just line cooks, a hostess has to make sure they get a SurfSafe card. So what they did was they...
Food handler's card.
Or, yeah, thank you. Food handler's card from SurfSafe or another organization that does a food handler. And they took those profits and then went back and lobbied against the hourly employees to get their minimum wage raised. I am still biting my tongue at how... I mean, you saw the... I think it was Elise that had mentioned a comment about what she had done during the pandemic. And then later on DM'd me directly. Listen, if you want to delete that, fine. But I effing hate the NRA, what they did, what they stood, what they stand for, and what they're doing. I think more people need other. We saw Chef Boris from the his catering from the Palm Beach Chefs Association didn't even know what was going on.
And just for the record, you know, there's a legitimate conversation to be had about mm-hmm. whether or not wages should or shouldn't be increased. But it's a conversation that needs to take place. And where the NRA went wrong and where SafeServe went wrong, SurfSafe, mm-hmm. Went wrong, is that they did it behind everybody's back.
Yeah, you know, they weren't transparent.
So, you know, unknowing, you know, food industry staffers, hospitality staff, it could be $15, $40, $100, whatever they're charging. A portion of that actually went to suppress the fact that they would, you know,
lobby. Or pay political, right. People
against them getting an increase. That's so bad. That's morally corrupt is what that is.
It's not illegal. It should be, but it's not. But it's disgusting.
It is.
And in such a, you know, we don't make that much. You know, my cousin cuts shoes for Steve Maddie, and he tells me what, you know, shoes cost and what they mark up. we can't do that. I can't have a 40% markup on chicken. I'm not going to sell a chicken.
For every chef that makes 100,000, it's, I don't know, probably one.
A line cook loses a year of life or something.
Years like, yeah, no, I mean, but it's, there's less, there's so much less of, you know, six figure salaries, and there's a lot more of, you know, $50,000 salaries, but you're putting in, you know, 80 hours a week and
or you could be doing that 100,000 and have nobody.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's
the
only,
you're the one man show.
No, I know, but just putting in perspective in terms of dollars, like people are like, oh, you can't make any money. Well, look at all these, you know, there's money to be made in the business, but not everybody's making that. Most people aren't making that money, you know, and you could look at like servers and bartenders and yeah, they probably do, but they're humping it too. They're hustling, you know, but at the end of it all, there's definitely a cost of doing business and there is a magic wage that should work for everybody, right? But again, it comes back to conversation. It doesn't come back to subterfuge and, you know, this.
I love how he uses those big SAT words.
This unholy union, you know, between a company and a lobbyist organization. Like it's just
ridiculous. And you and then for them to sit there and say they're for the I'm just kind of giving the cliff notes to the post they had posted. To give the cliff notes, it's like for the people, by the people of the restaurant industry. That just was like another slap in the face to them in itself and everything they deal with. And I have friends that go to the NRA. We talked about that. And I literally said, Dynamic Solutions. I literally said, it's time to stop the membership. It's time to not go to the NRA. It's time to look differently. And there's got to be some repercussions to them for what they've done. And as I think that it will be, I just think it has to gain more speed. I think we could be the catalyst. That would be really cool.
I think it should be. I mean, I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it.
When you launched the last Thursday, when you launched that episode, I actually had a lot of people contact me like, oh, what the, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is grotesque. And I know they shared the content and obviously Boris and he got that today and hopefully he'll share it too. It just, I think the more and more we talk about it, the more and more people get involved and get behind it, like April and Boris and Nick and Suzanne and all those peeps. I think we can make the difference. I think the only way to be a part of change is to be the change.
Yes. And in this case,
change will change you.
Yeah. And in this case, it's, you know, I think it's less about change per se. It's just about shifting from a company who, you know, was morally wrong in what they did to another option, you know, other options, because there are other options out there.
I think if somebody wants to find out about food safety and where to go for it, I think they need to type in food handler.
Yeah.
I think you'll find a lot more to it. And maybe that's something we could put on our social media, because that way we'll, you know, we can help out. And if anybody listens to this and they know of anybody that's not a serve safe food handler, let us know so that we can contact them and maybe get their perspective on this too.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I
reached out to the NRA and asked them if they want to speak and they said no comment. I'm just like, oh, well, just like your post.
Shut the comments off. Look, man, I mean, again, we should all be talking about, you know, opinions, have the conversation, have the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward, man. Move on.
Just remember, opinions are like you know, the other thing, and everyone has one. But again, I think if they were upfront and put like a little asterisk, hey, by the way, this is going to go towards suppressing your wages, I think that would have been an eye-opener back then, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I have to concur with that. Jeffrey. So
pork belly next week, John. Pork belly.
Pork
crunchy
belly.
Pork belly.
Pork belly Jeff. That's what they call it in high school.
I know there was a couple other things.
Yeah. Tripod. No, so look, no, kidding.
Not that.
Like, look, man, good luck on the search. I'm hoping somebody hears this and says, oh, man, I know just the spot. And, of course, I'm going to help keep a look-see out there for you, too.
I appreciate that.
Another good show, man.
Thanks, man. Hey, John, make sure you take a picture of the shirt, man. That's the shirt right there. It's money.
Yes. All right. Thanks for listening out there, John. You're awesome. Pito, yes. we are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.